1 cent computers. This started kind of about a year ago when there was an EEV blog entry about 3 cent computers, or microcontrollers. And at some point I had a look at the hardware and it seemed like it would be a nice target architecture for the small device C compiler. And today we have a free tool chain for these microcontrollers. Not perfect for all of them yet, but we'll see where we are. Okay, so I'll start by talking a little bit about the background. What are these microcontrollers that are relatively cheap? I'll talk a little bit about free hardware to support them, basically a device for programming them, and then about the tool support by the C compiler.
Yep.
Okay, those microcontrollers are made by a Taiwanese company called Padok. There's also a reseller that rebrands them under the name of Puolop. Since Padok sometimes makes like semi-custom versions, there's something available from Puolop that one can't get directly at Padok. I think one microcontroller with 3/4 of a kilobyte of program memory. They're relatively cheap, so the very cheapest is indeed available for 1 cent if bought in quantities of 10. very cheap ones, their program memory is PROM, so I prefer to have them reusable, so personally I use expensive versions which also have bigger memory. The chips on here cost about 4 to 7 cents. But the tool chain can also target the very cheapest ones. They are quite low power devices. The architecture is accumulator based, so meaning you don't have, quite unlike RISC, you don't have a lot of registers, but you have one register and you typically have accumulator memory instructions or memory accumulator instructions. So not load store architecture, but direct use of memory operands. The architecture is relatively nice if you look at such small devices. Yeah, I mean, there was for a long time around the microchip PIC, which have the problem that the smallest devices have a hardware stack, so you're limited in your call depths. And then there's plenty of Chinese-made 4-bit microcontrollers that are very hard to target with something like a C compiler. So considering that this thing is cheap and low power and small and everything, it has a relatively nice architecture. It's kind of comparable to the Intel 8051 in terms of how nice or non-nice it is. The devices have RAM between, the smallest one have 60 bytes, there's versions up to 256 bytes. The one sub-architecture would allow for up to 512 bytes because it has 9 address bits, but no existing devices are known. And there's actually most different sub-architectures. We'll come to it soon. And the smallest one has only 6 address bits for the RAM. We have program memory that's between half and half a kilowatt and 4 kilowatts of program memory, depending on the sub-architecture. The width of a word is between 13 and 16 bits. There's very few peripherals, typically just timers, comparators, ADC, something for pulse width modulation, and a watchdog. However, we have something, it's not full multi-core, even though I'll use the term core on the rest of the slides, because the manufacturer does, but it's kind of hardware threads, a bit like hyper-threading or something like that, which is convenient because you can emulate a peripheral in software on kind of a separate, let's call it core now, have it respond fast to I/O. Okay, so let's get to the sub-architectures. I usually call them PDK-13 to PDK-16. By the width of the words in program memory. They have internal names which are found in files from the non-free IDE from the manufacturer. Again, 13 to 16 bits. So for every bit width, there's a sub-architecture and actually 16 devices. The address bits for the program memory also go up by one, and the address bits for the data. For I/O, mostly so, except for PDK-16 having less address bits. As far as I know, PDK-16 actually seems to be the oldest of these sub-architectures, with the other ones added later. So, and only for the PDK-14 and PDK-16, they're actually devices with multiple hardware threads. And if you want the full 8 threads, it's only the PDK-16 sub-architecture. There's still a little bit more variation within the sub-architecture. So you have some PDK-16 devices that have a multiplication instruction, others don't, and so on. But looking at the big picture, these four sub-architectures are there, and then sometimes there are a few additional instructions or not. Okay, how is a hardware multithreading implemented? Well, this is a so-called barrel processor, which you may know from the Honeywell H800 from the early 1960s, I think. I think there's also the X-Core microcontroller or something that uses something similar, but I don't know of any others. Apart from the Padoc, basically the idea is you have a set of registers for every hardware thread, and then cycle per cycle you rotate through your arithmetic and logical unit, and every cycle this arithmetic logical unit processes an instruction from a different core. We call these core processing units whatever. Hardware threads is more accurate. I'll use core because it's short, but manufacturer documentation uses different terms. There's a unfortunately, a lack of instruction support for this parallelism. Usually, you have multicore thing, you expect stuff that makes it easy to implement locks, to implement atomics, and so on. Unfortunately, that's not in this architecture. Yeah, it's very complicated to kind of emulate lockless atomics or something, but we'll get to that later. So, synchronization between the multiple hardware threads is a bit problematic, at least from a C perspective. Okay, this is how this thing looks. Well, I've boiled it in colophony to take it apart and put it under a microscope. What we see here is PMC-234 is one of the big devices. Yeah, it's 8 hardware threads. It has lots of peripherals by Padoc standards. What we see in the middle, the sea of gates, so all the digital logic, the cores, the peripherals don't actually make up that much space. Basically, I have a look at the program memory and include the address decoder. I already have about the same amount of space in just the program memory. And then, of course, there's the I/O parts, and here are these diodes for ESD protection. I think the cheapest ones, the PMS-158, or the one sensing